You're listening to AM 970, The Answer. And now, Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, the president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, a very special guest is Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. This is, I believe, your second time on Reaching Out, isn't it?
Actually, it's my third, but who's counting, Greg? Glad to be back.
Well, I got to be counting because when a guest comes back three times, I got to really appreciate it, especially a high-profile guest like yourself.
Well, this is an important opportunity to talk to your listeners and have a conversation with you about what's going on in our state and what we're up against, particularly with the Republicans running Washington. And every single day we're dealing with consequences. So I'm grateful to have the opportunity to have the dialogue.
Well, thank you. And let's get right into it. New York has a lot of working families. This is a working family state. What has been done to help working families in New York State? Minimum wage increase, paid family leave, et cetera. Just name a few things that New York State has done for working families.
I am very happy to. And this is from a person who comes out of Buffalo. I'm from Buffalo, New York, which is a real blue collar steel town. My grandparents, my grandfather, my uncles, my dad all worked there. I had family members who were plumbers and longshoremen. So I have such an appreciation for the men and women of labor. So to be lieutenant governor working with Andrew Cuomo to fight for working men and women has been a privilege. And some of the things we've done, increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, no one should take that for granted. No other state has been able to accomplish what we did. And that is going to be a game changer for thousands of families. Before, when you were earning $18,000 a year, you cannot survive on that. So we increased it so the minimum wage is now $32. That's a game changer. Also, the paid family leave program.
So the minimum wage from $18,000 to $32,000.
That's what goes over time. Yes, that's huge. It's huge. And it's staggered out. It's in effect earlier in the New York City area, the metropolitan area, and it'll eventually get to upstate. But it's a very well thought out plan. We're rolling it out so, you know, people can be prepared for it, the employers, but also it's a lifeline to thousands of families. And the other important point about the minimum wage is that so many minimum wage earners are women. And a quarter of them are also the single breadwinners in their families. So children are going to have a better shot at a good life because their moms will be able to earn more money with a higher minimum wage. That's important. But speaking of women, too, so many women don't have the opportunity to be there when their children are babies or when there's an adoption or for either person to be with their parent at the end of life when they want to hold their hand, as I did with my mother when she succumbed to ALS a few years ago. So paid family leave is an opportunity for people to not worry about losing their job. They still have job security. They'll still have income coming in, but they can do what they need to do to help their families. That is a powerful statement of our priorities here in New York. Something else that we should not overlook. Governor Cuomo was so bold in saying that we'll be the first state in the nation to have free college tuition at a CUNY or SUNY school for everyone. And I have met so many young people whose families never even entertain the idea of going to college because the costs are so high. And to open up that door of opportunity is life-changing for people. It changed my parents' life. My parents started married life in a trailer park, had no money, but college was the ticket out. That is the same way it is today. And so those are some of the initiatives we worked on very hard and that people should be proud of in our state. But I also make a strong statement. As the most unionized state in the nation, we are proud of that heritage in New York. We are the birthplace of the labor rights movement. And when we see what is happening with Donald Trump in Washington and the Supreme Court, who even today or shortly this week could come out with a decision, what is trying to dismantle and destroy unions with the Janus decision saying that dues are now optional, I want to tell you right now, Governor Cuomo and I and our administration are going to continue fighting this back hard. And we'll continue to take it to court. We'll do whatever we can to protect the strength of our unions to fight for the members that they represent.
Now, whether you are Republican or Democrat, unions help all. We have friends on both sides of the aisle. We have people that support working men and women on both sides of the aisle. And when it comes to unions, when wages are up, people can afford to buy goods. It helps business. And I don't know what people don't understand. I remember Dwight Eisenhower, I've seen a clip from Dwight Eisenhower saying, when the country's unionized, the country does much better. and wages are up. And only unions can bring wages up, because it's been evident that the tax cuts and wealthy people are not going to share the wealth. There's no such thing as trickle down.
We saw that. I was actually a staffer for Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan back during Ronald Reagan eras. And that's all they talked about was this trickle down. Oh, give tax breaks to the very wealthiest. Don't worry, yours is going to come down to you. It's going to get down to you at the bottom. Guess what? That never happened. It was one of the biggest lies perpetrated on this country that I've ever seen. But what troubles me is that they keep regurgitating that same philosophy now under Donald Trump, where they want to continue giving huge tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires. And it's not getting to the middle class. It's not getting to people in poverty. It's not getting down there. And the facts bear that out. And that is why we have to make sure that we have a strong safety net here in the state of New York to offset all the cuts of these important programs in Washington. And it's happening. And this is not just saying the sky is falling. The sky really is falling. It is happening right now. It is not just worrying about something that's never going to happen. Under Donald Trump and the Republicans in the House and the Senate and the Republican Supreme Court, working men and women are under siege in this country. And you need a state like New York, under Governor Cuomo and Lieutenant Governor Hochul, the two of us together have been pushing back hard. And that is our commitment going forward, that working men and women can continue to count on us. Because you are absolutely right. We would not have a middle class. We would not have the standard of living. We would not have the protections that we have for men and women in harm's way in the workplace if it wasn't for the unions. And I'm proud that New York State is a place that all started, but it is our responsibility now to continue to lead this nation in these dark times.
Peanuts reference from the Charlie Brown cartoon. The football is trickle down. Lucy's holding it. It's not going to happen. She's never going to let you kick that football.
That is exactly right. I'm a Peanuts fan myself.
Now, you mentioned free tuition. I'm a 16-year-old. I have someone that's about to enter college. I'm a junior, senior in high school. How does that work? I'm a New York State resident.
Well, first of all, in high school, your guidance counselor will have information, or you can go to our website. And what it is that we will make up the difference between the TAP assistance you would receive, the Pell Grant, any other scholarships that you can piece together. You get that far. And if there's still a gap between that amount of money and the $6,700 cost of a SUNY or CUNY tuition, the state of New York will supplement that. We'll make up that gap. And I have to tell you, even if it's just $2,000-$3,000 a year, that makes all the difference in the world.
Sure.
I met a young man who was the night clerk at the hotel I was staying in up in Albany. And he came up to me and he gave me a hug and he said, "I want to thank you and Governor Cuomo. I never dreamed I could go to college. And now I can work at this job at night. I can go to college by day because I found out about the free tuition." He said, "I'm going to a community college and I want to be an FBI agent someday. And I got my cousin to do it as well." Those are the people's lives who are better because we had bold leadership here in the state of New York, and it's just going to continue. So that is what I'm so proud of, that we've accomplished already, but there's still more work to be done, no doubt about it.
I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237. Our very special guest is Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. Now, you've also done infrastructure. I believe maybe there's 5 or 6 bridges, a couple of airports, and tunnels under construction, and some construction has been completed. Please talk about that, because that's very important, infrastructure. I've been hearing about infrastructure for 10 years, and I keep hearing about it on the federal government, and all they have is this infrastructure conference, but nothing's been done. You have shovels in the ground. You have completed projects. Tell us what you've done.
Well, thank you for recognizing the difference between New York State and the federal government. When I was younger and worked on Capitol Hill, there was a time when the federal government felt they had a responsibility to help fund major infrastructure projects. That era is over. And instead of waiting and just complaining about it, Governor Cuomo has said, you know what, we're going to forge forward because we can no longer neglect the infrastructure that people ignored for a long time just because it was too big, too expensive, too complicated. You need bold, audacious leadership, and that's what we have. So you look at airports, for example. I fly in and out of JFK and LaGuardia almost on a daily basis. And to see the transformation in our lifetime of making world-class facilities that people can be proud of. But it's not just the facility. It is the thousands and thousands of good-paying jobs that are created from these from this $100 billion infrastructure investment. So we're doing the Penn Station. We're doing fixing the railroads. We're fixing the subway system. We are doing so much. And you only need to look around and see the dramatic change in the landscape of this area and know that it happened because we decided we have to continue moving forward and not backwards. That was our legacy. We had the highest buildings. We had the longest bridges. People were always proud to be New Yorkers. And then there was this era where people says, no, we'll be criticized if we spend the money on it and we might lose an election. It doesn't matter. This work has to get done. It's part of the responsibility of government. And again, you look at a Tappan Zee Bridge, for example. That was talked about for 25 years.
Yes,
nobody
was. Yes.
Got it done. Governor Cuomo rolled up his sleeves, got down there on site. I saw him. He was so hands-on and says, we're going to fix this. And the transformation is amazing. So those jobs, again, they're important to get done because it has to occur. We cannot neglect it. But when I see union men and women on those job sites, so proud to be looking at the legacy that they're creating in this great city, it's a powerful testament to what they can do and what government can do with them.
You've actually completed construction on the Kosciuszko Bridge off the BQE that lowers emission because the traffic is flowing faster and freely because you don't have to go up that incline and the trucks don't have to go up that incline and they're not burning the emissions the way they used to. And it sort of took 15, 20 minutes off the travel time in both directions.
It sure did. I was with the governor. We had the lighting of the bridge to celebrate the opening, and it was such an exciting evening. But what a difference it makes in the lives of everyday commuters. We know getting around the city is a hassle, no doubt about it. And we're doing everything we can to alleviate that, investing in unprecedented sums of money into making sure our bridges are good and they're effective. But also cashless tolling has made a difference in a lot of areas where we can say, use an easy pass. You don't have to wait in line to pay your toll. And again, that gets back to protecting the environment because you don't have the trucks
right.
and the cars idling. But the flow of commerce, our Teamsters who can get through faster,
sure.
it's more efficient for them to do their jobs. It's better for the companies. It's better for the environment. And it wasn't happening until our administration said it has to get done. Let's just do it.
And you're also improving the Midtown Tunnel. So I've noticed that.
It looks great. It's brighter in there. Yes. I just came through there yesterday. It's a different experience. And we're trying to, you know, remind people that when you live in the greatest city on the planet, which is what this New York City is, that we have to continue upping the game. You can no longer rest on our laurels. And we're doing so much to spruce it up, create a new vibe here. We're also bringing new businesses here, technology jobs and infrastructure opportunities for people. So I love the fact that so many people want to move here now. And I kind of cut my teeth in politics back in the 70s at a time which was a very dark era for our city when bankruptcy was just around the corner and people were fleeing and the jobs are going down and crime was up. What a difference just a few years has made. And I'm very proud to be able to be here almost every day and seeing the transformation right before my eyes.
Speaking of people moving here, the federal tax cut is going to impact New York State adversely. Because I know there's certain items that was taking off the tax exempt list, or you can't claim certain items, like your property tax or your mortgage, and that means New York City and New York State residents will pay a higher federal tax. I think the governor had a plan to offset that.
Yes, and what this was nothing other than a frontal assault on the blue states who did not support Donald Trump. If you look at the 12 states that will now be paying higher taxes as a result of their so-called tax reform, and it was not reform, it set us backwards. It was a huge giveaway to millionaires and billionaires and corporations at the expense of people in our state by eliminating, as you said, they call it the SALT deduction, state and local tax deduction. And what it equates to is a 20 to 30% tax increase on many New Yorkers. And when you think about it, that's going to drive people out of our state and businesses who could go elsewhere. And we spend so much of our time recruiting businesses and helping businesses who are here expand to create new jobs. And I chair the governor's economic development councils for the entire state. I've seen and I know how hard it is to get people to want to come sometimes. And when they're here, they love it. But now if we have a federal tax structure that's going to penalize them, it's going to make it a lot harder. So the governor and I fought hard against it. We were not successful in persuading the Republicans to not institute these changes. And even New York Republicans, believe it or not, New Yorkers who should be representing and looking out for the entire state supported this plan. In New York, what we're going to do is try to have a parallel system where you can deduct and make charitable contributions for education and health care programs and take a deduction for that to help offset it. We're still working out the changes. People really won't feel the difference until next spring when they file their income taxes. So we have some time to get this together. But again, this is just another example of what happens with the Republican leadership and people from our own state who vote against the interests of the people who put them in office. I find that unconscionable as a former member of Congress. I'm not sure how they got away with it, and I think there's a price to pay at the polls this November.
Thank you for clearing that up, and a lot of our listeners don't realize that they're going to be paying a higher tax. You have been a champion for women's rights in New York. How are you working to close the gender wage gap and address other issues affecting women?
Well, as the only woman in statewide office, I feel I have a unique platform and a unique responsibility to look out for other women, particularly women in male-dominated fields. And let's talk about labor unions for starts. There are so many fields where women are the women who are carpenters and plumbers and electricians, they have great opportunities. The ones who find their way into apprenticeship programs and the training programs, and I've visited so many of them, this is a whole new lease on life, but there just aren't enough of them. So I'm out there speaking to groups of people and young people saying, have you ever considered a job in the trades? Have you thought about going into this kind of work where you can use your hands and your minds and be creative? And I think the more we can do to help women go into those areas, because once they're a member of a union, and I will never forget the woman who I met who showed me her union card. She says, I was in poverty. I was in a homeless shelter months ago, and now I can take care of my kids because I'm an electrician. We need more of those programs. We're going to continue. But as far as the wage gap, in the state of New York, it's good that we have the smallest wage gap in the nation, 89 cents on the dollar, but that's just for white women. For women of color, it is 62% to the 62 cents to the dollar of what a man earns. And for Latina, it is 54 cents. So we still have a huge pockets of women who are making far less than their male white counterparts. And we're trying to get at that. And I chair a commission with our Commissioner of Labor, Roberta Reardon, who is just an incredible individual. We traveled the state together. And having testimony and people come forward and say, why does this gap exist? Some of it is that women are choosing to go into the lower paid professions. I understand that. But there are barriers in place. And one of the things we have to stop doing is allowing employers to ask what your previous salary was. Because think about it. When I was a young staffer on Capitol Hill, I didn't know to negotiate a higher salary. I was so happy to make $25,000 working for a congressman. I didn't know the guy sitting next to me was making $35,000. I didn't ask. I wasn't told.
Right.
And that haunts you the rest of your life.
Sure.
Women should no longer have to disclose. No one should disclose what their previous salary. You pay what the job is worth, male or female, regardless of your history. And that's something we instituted at the state level, and we're trying to get through in the private sector as well. And just finding ways that women can have better child care programs so they can stay in the workforce longer and not worry about the kids. So we're going to make a difference here, and we're not going to be satisfied till actually, I think women should make a little more than men in some jobs. They work hard. And
if it calls for it, yeah, why not?
Well, we got to make up for 150 years of making less. And so it's a challenge, but I embrace it, and we're going to continue making a difference. And working with the men and women of labor has been very helpful on that.
Thank you. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. With me, our very special guest is Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. With shootings becoming more prevalent, especially at schools, what is New York doing to combat the gun violence?
Very timely question, because just 2 weeks ago, the governor and I started boarding school buses, going to school districts in the Bronx and in Long Island and Westchester, talking about the need for some very common sense legislation. We tried to get this through the Republican Senate in the final days, and they turned their backs on the safety of our children. Here's what we wanted to do. Something called the Red Alert Bill. We have found that when you talk to teachers and administrators after there's been an incident, whether it was at a Columbine or Sandy Hook or Parkland or Santa Fe, a shooting in their schools, every one of them says, we had seen this coming. We knew this young person, the student, had problems. We could see the violence percolating in them. If we can give those people who see these red alerts early the opportunity to go to a judge, petition to have a mental health evaluation, and if necessary, remove the guns from the home where that child lives, because that's what's happening. They have problems, they're angry, they want to act out, they want to engage in these heinous acts against their classmates, and then they have access to a gun. It's so easy for them. So we want to have that power. But also, New York State has the SAFE Act in effect. This was a result of leadership from Governor Cuomo after the slaughter of children in first grade at Sandy Hook. No longer are assault weapons allowed in our state. We have a limited number of guns or bullets you can carry in a magazine. We have very strong mental health checks and background checks. And in fact, if you realize that our mental health database has the names of 77,000 people who professionals have said should not have a gun, that is a way we can protect our citizenry. Because before the SAFE Act, every one of them had access to a gun or could have had access to a gun. So we've already had some common sense legislation that we wish Congress would replicate at the national level. But we also want to increase the length of time for background checks and also increase the age of gun ownership. So we're not done. But also, I want to make sure we know it's not just in schools. There is gun violence every single day of the week on the streets of our boroughs and in our state. And we can focus on schools, but never lose sight of the fact that we're losing more children, more teenagers, more young people, and more families are just decimated and living in the pain of the loss of a child because of gun violence on the streets, and we're focused on that as well.
You're facing a primary challenge for Lieutenant Governor. What are your priorities if elected for another four-year term?
Well, we have a lot of work to continue creating jobs in New York State. I'm going to focus on my work on economic development, improving educational outcomes, because the governor and I believe that while we spend an enormous amount of money in schools and on schools in education, the differences are too disparate. And it depends on the neighborhood and the poverty level. And the kids who are in areas of high poverty and high need to have more money in their schools, no doubt about it. I want to focus on that. Something like voting as well. I'm embarrassed to say that New York State, which was the birthplace of the women's rights movement back in 1848 and one of the first major states to allow voting for women 100 years ago, we are one of the worst in the nation in terms of voter participation. The number of people turning out to vote in New York State pales in comparison to 42 other states. So let's fix that. Why don't we have early voting? What's so magical about one Tuesday in November as your only opportunity to select your leadership, one of the most important responsibilities of being a citizen in this great country? So you open it up 10, 12 days earlier, like my father in Florida can vote early. What about no-fault absentee voting? Why can't people go in and just cast a ballot? Possibly we'll get to online voting. What about same-day registration? Why are there so many barriers to people having access to voting? And I raise these questions. And in our Republican Senate, they refuse to enact any of the bills that our Democratic Assembly have put forward that would do just this. I'm going to make this a huge part of our platform. Another issue, bit of unfinished business we want to take care of, is we think that there should be bail reform, cashless bail for misdemeanors and nonviolent cases, because it is fundamentally unfair and unjust that someone can either be incarcerated awaiting their trial because they couldn't post bail, or someone whose family had the money to put down the money for bail is out finishing up school or college. That is wrong. It's not affected by the severity of the crime. It's just whether or not you have enough money in your bank account. We need to change that. It is an important part of our criminal justice reforms and treating people the same in our state, not having these differentials. And we did increase the age of criminal culpability for young people. There was just a couple years ago, a 16 and 17-year-old were treated the same as adults, but we're not finished yet. We have a long way to go in that area. But we need to change the composition of the New York State Senate. We can get a lot of good ideas, a lot of good progressive ideas through the Assembly, and we've done that, working closely with our partners there. But then it always dies in the New York State Senate. And we have an opportunity this year to win in some open seats and to take on some challengers. And if we go into November united, as a party, pull together everybody and realize that we have more values in common as Democrats that we have to espouse and let the people of the state know that if they continue to allow Republican leadership, we will not get through common sense reforms. And that's one something the governor and I are very focused on.
That's all the time we have for this segment of Reaching Out. We're going to invite you back. You come back as many times as you want. Our very special guest, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.